Welcome to the Marcia Miyake Show, where our mission is to share thought-provoking ideas, practical tools, and tangible strategies to uplevel your life, business, and relationships. I'm your host, Marcia Miyake, leadership and emotional intelligence consultant, executive coach, and conscious mama of two. Through solo episodes and interviews with experts in the medical, research, business, and spiritual fields, this show helps you to shift from the illusion that success in one area of your life means failure in another, to the understanding that you truly get to have it all. Let's get started. Welcome back to another episode, my loves. I'm so excited about today's conversation. If you follow me on Instagram at Marcia Miyake, you will know that every single day, without exception, I make myself a beautiful cup of cacao. It is hands down my favorite drink in the world, and it has a multitude of benefits that we'll get into conversation about today. So I'm super excited to welcome today's guest and my dear friend, Yasmin. Yasmin is the CEO and founder of Cacao Collective, a sustainable organic cacao business that brings an ancient plant medicine to the modern world in a way that encourages a new relationship with your morning routine. She's incredibly passionate about conscious consumerism and changing the way we relate to stimulants so that we can live a more meaningful and present life. In this episode, we talk about the benefits of ceremonial cacao, Cacao Collective's philosophy and social impact, and how you can make the perfect cup of cacao today. We also have an incredible offer for you guys too. If you go to cacaocollective.com.au and use the discount code Marcia, you can save 10% on any cacao products they have on their website. You can also use this coupon code multiple times. So this is an extremely generous offer. So just go into the show notes and follow the link there and begin your cacao journey today. Welcome, Yasmin. Thank you so much for making the time to be on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me, Marcia. I'm so excited.
Yay. That felt so formal for given that we've like been in this deep conversation. Okay.
You turned it on so quickly.
I'm so excited because you are the founder and co-owner of my favorite product in the world, cacao. You guys own Cacao Collective, where I get my beautiful cacao from. And I get so many questions about it. You know, why do you do this? What are the health benefits? You know, why is it better than coffee? All the things. And I was like, you know what, let me just bring Yasmin on and we can just chat about it. I can ask my own questions too.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm super excited. So first of all, for anybody that's new to this beautiful plant medicine, can you just give them a description or your understanding of what cacao is?
Yeah, absolutely. So the best way I like to describe it, especially to people who have never really come into contact with ceremonial cacao, it is a little bit different to cacao powder, but we'll get into that later, I'm sure. It's basically pure chocolate, and from the Amazon, this one basically is. So 100% pure chocolate, unadulterated, straight from the source, straight from the beans. They've been ground into a beautiful paste. And then that paste is then pre-shaved by us and then delivered to you. So it's got all the incredible benefits that nature has to offer, which I always find when things are from the source, they've always got these incredible health benefits and incredible nutrient profiles, which cacao does. But it tastes like rich, beautiful chocolate. It's, yeah, it's a real velvety, beautiful drink. It's kind of like a hot chocolate, but so much more.
Yeah. And I don't know anybody like how you could prefer the taste of something like coffee over cacao, because it does. I know that Dan thinks it's a little bit bitter, but I think that's because he has such a sweet tooth. Because to me, it is like a dessert. I am just like, this is heaven in my mouth every time I drink it.
It's such a pure hug in a mug, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And so it's part of my daily routine. I cannot
like go a day without it. I feel it when I don't have it. For me, my experience of it is it just gives me a little bit of energy, but nothing like coffee where, cause I'm quite sensitive, so I can get jittery. I feel like I'm just overly stimulated. So I get this like really nice energy, but it makes me feel good, if that makes sense. I mean, like happier, if that makes sense. I'm sure you talk to your customers who tell you how they're feeling, but for me, it genuinely improves my mood. Mm-hmm. And whereas other products, so like, let's say coffee can do that too. I find that there's a very distinct time in the day where all of a sudden I go from feeling good to, oh, I'm really not feeling good. Whereas with cacao, yes, there is none of that.
Yes.
Like, there is no fall off point for me anyways. Is that what you hear from your customers and what your experience is with it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the, I guess, the main things that I personally love about cacao. And coming from a very stimulated past where I was constantly reaching for coffees and stimulants and pre-workouts, and as a very sensitive person, I was always feeling extremely scattered and inconsistent in my moods and jittery and anxious. And I didn't realize how much of my anxiety was actually from the stimulants. At that point, I had no idea that they went together. It was actually only when I started to introduce cacao into my life and into my daily practice as well that I noticed, oh my God, like I don't feel that anxiety anymore. And then I would maybe have a coffee on the weekend and straight away I'd have this influx of stimulation and I'd be almost pinging off the walls and feeling really ungrounded. And I was like, oh my God, this really is such a different experience. And I think you always need that contrast before you understand how things make you feel. At times we're not as attuned to our bodies and our nervous system. And I think sometimes we need that contrast. So yeah, absolutely, I agree. Cacao, so many benefits, but it does, it makes you feel good. And it sounds a little bit like cliche. I think there are so many products on the market right now that say like, it's a feel-good drink and it's this and they're selling snake oil. And a lot of people, I think, are wary of that at the moment, particularly now. So much of the marketing at the moment is so in your face. And I think people are becoming a lot more discerning about the marketing that they're seeing. But with ceremonial grade cacao, there are incredible feel-good compounds that actually are found in the cacao itself. One is called anandamide. So ananda is actually the Sanskrit word for bliss. So anandamide is actually the bliss molecule. And it really is responsible for, you know, those feel good vibes, feeling really happy, joyful, pleasurable. Like it's all of those things. So when we're drinking cacao in the morning, we're actually taking those in. You've also got phenylethylamine, which is a bit of a tongue twister, or PEA for short. And that's also another active compound that works with our serotonergic and dopamine pathways. So it's really about enhancing those pathways and increasing that feeling of motivation and reward and happiness and all of those beautiful things. So, I mean, if chocolate isn't enough just to make you feel good, it's actually got all these beautiful active compounds that are adding to that experience, which for me is just like heaven.
Yeah. Okay. So that totally explains why you actually feel good on it. And
it's not just a placebo.
Yeah. And you're right. There's so much on the market right now that is position themselves in like the health space that are not. And I just recently saw that there is a company that Dan and I really loved in the past for health products.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to share any names, but they basically, someone exposed the ingredients and they were not good for you at all. Like,
oh
at all.
My God.
So that was, and this is for years, we thought this product was really good. And so I think
that's devastating.
Yeah. There's a lot being, you and I have talked in the past as well, just a lot being brought to the surface. And so what I love about cacao is, and let's actually, we can go into this now, is, well, what is the difference between ceremonial cacao or cacao, powdered cacao that you can get at like the grocery store?
Yeah. So they both come from the same place. I think that's so important to highlight. And for us, I think the biggest thing to also say is like, there's no one thing that's better than the other. We're very big on keeping it very neutral here. However, ceremonial cacao is actually called ceremonial cacao for a reason. It's not actually because it's in ceremony, although we, you know, it is typically used in ceremony. Ceremonial is actually like a standard of cacao or like a grade of cacao. So it's typically a very high grade of cacao, the highest grade you can get. It basically means that it has to cover a few of the criteria in order for it to be classified ceremonial. So it has to be grown organically. All the farmers and all the hands that come into contact typically needs to be fair trade. It needs to be grown in the Mesoamerican region, so Guatemala, Mexico, Peru, sort of the traditional areas of where cacao is actually grown originally before it was then transported and taken all over the world. So there are like quite a few criteria that it needs to meet. Obviously, it needs to be naturally processed and goes through minimal processing, things like that. So there's a little bit of criteria it needs to meet. And it's, I guess, even though it's not too monitored or governed, cacao powder is just a lot less regulated as a product. So you can get some really high grade cacao powders on the market, but they are more expensive typically, and they are harder to find and harder to understand if they're a good quality or not, basically. So when you go to the grocery store, you're seeing all sorts of ranges of cacao powder, to cocoa powder, to, you know, cooking chocolate powder. Like, there's all different names that are used, and it's very hard to determine what's a high quality, how it's been farmed. Are the farmers fairly remunerated? Like, you typically don't see that on the back of a package. So you have no idea how it's arrived in that store. And I think for me, that's a big value of mine, is where are my products coming from? How are they getting to my hands? And who is, how are people being remunerated for their service in getting this product to the consumer, me, basically. So ceremony cacao is really, number one, that's what differentiates it. But on another level, I guess it, you know, compared to your cacao powder, which does go through a heat treating process. So you've got the paste first, which is like the original product that comes out of the beans that are then ground. You actually get cacao nibs first, and then it goes through a process of grinding, and then it becomes a paste, which is what the ceremonial grade cacao is. Then that actually goes through a heat treating process, really high heats, to separate the fat from the cake or the powder. So that's how you get this like beautiful chocolate tasting powder without the fats. Obviously cacao powder is very low in fat, if I don't even think it has any. And that's basically what's happened. So it's been separated from the fatty acids that are actually naturally found in cacao. So, I mean, neither of this is good nor bad. However, it is hard to monitor how many of the nutrients are transferred into the powder. Some are, and it's still really nutritionally dense. However, some powders are pretty much nutrient void. And again, it's very hard to tell what the standard of, you can usually see how you feel with it. But a lot of brands do use, you know, the typical marketing of ceremonial cacao for cacao powder, but don't necessarily have the backing of that and the evidence that shows how it's been processed and how the nutrients have been transferred over. So again, yeah, it's just a varied product. So I really find that cacao powder is beautiful for cooking, for adding chocolate flavors to things. I think it's an incredible product for that. I think if your intention is more for health and for improving your mood or feeling good in the day and nourishing your body, then I would always suggest to opt for more of a ceremonial cacao, because you are going to get more of those nutrients and active compounds and polyphenols and antioxidants, as opposed, and you know, you're going to know that you're probably going to get that, as opposed to trialing with the cacao and not really knowing if you're getting much of a benefit from it. And I've heard that a lot with people going, I never feel this good when I just drink cacao powder in a hot chocolate, you know? So it does go to show that there's definitely a lot of variation.
Yeah. And that makes sense. I mean, you're not doing one of the big processing things. So, and as we process, so you said that there's cacao and there's Coco. Because they're spelt very similarly. Do not be confused. Yes. What's the difference between these two? Are they even at all similar?
I guess like yes and no. They're actually typically still from the cacao plant, which is hilarious. So it's just really a difference in spelling. Don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure like upon some research, I did find something that kind of alluded to when the Spanish kind of took cacao from Peru, like when they invaded the Mayan space, they kind of took cacao with them and they kind of took it to the European world and England and all the like sort of high affluent people were the ones that were having cacao at that time. And I'm pretty sure it was just like honestly a spelling mistake that happened in the transfer of the information to the different spaces in Europe, which then spelt it cocoa, not cacao. That's one version I've heard. Another version of history is that it didn't sound right, so they changed it. Again, I'm not sure if that's 100% the truth. It's a lot of the information back then is a little bit diluted, so we don't know for sure. But in essence, it all comes from the same place. Again, like I said before, cocoa powder is probably just even more so processed and stripped of nutrients. And again, we really have no idea how it's being handled, how it's being processed, where the beans are coming from. A lot of the beans in cocoa powder are coming from things like the Ivory Coast in Africa, which is typically quite an extorted space. So there is a lot of dark stuff that happens in the Ivory Coast for cacao. It's very extorted. A lot of the big candy companies buy their cacao from there because they can basically manipulate the price as much as they want because of the extreme poverty and stuff like that. So for me, I tend to stay away from cocoa products because I just have no idea where it's really coming from and how it's processed. But yeah, it's very interesting.
That's so important what you're saying. I want to touch on a couple of things. But so I agree with you in that there's no, like, it's not like one's better, one's worse, but the powder is really great for cooking. But if you want a nutrient rich, really thick and creamy drink, then the cacao would probably, the ceremonial grade cacao would be better for you. And especially because we don't know how much of the nutrients is still left. It could be still nutrient rich, but we don't know how much of it is still left after the processing. Yeah. And I would imagine businesses are different. So they'd be going through different types of processing systems to get to the end product and,
absolutely,
and all of that. So let's talk into a little bit about the importance of where your products are coming from, because our listeners, they know that we talk about, you know, like energetic exchange, you know, that we're all connected. So it's not going to be like this far reaching, you know, concept, but it's like, okay, guys, like, let's just reflect for a second that if everything is energy and, you know, some cultures even, okay. So when I was in university, there was some Asian students where they would come in and they didn't want the new textbook. They actually wanted the textbook from a student who was one of the top in the class the previous year. Wow. Because of the energy of what that meant, right? That's the power of energy, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was like, totally makes sense. And I mean, people are like this with wedding dresses too. If they're going to wear a wedding dress, they want to know, did this couple end in divorce? Or are they just getting rid of this wedding dress because it doesn't serve them anymore? So energy is so important, but also just being mindful of what is your role in this world? As in, as the consumer, what is your role? Like if I buy something from a company that is exploiting people, then I am part of the exploitation. Like, I don't get to say that I'm not part of that because I'm not the one extorting them or beating them or, you know, forcing children to work.
I am part of the cycle, right?
Exactly. I feel like I'm just as responsible by being the consumer. So I think just, you know, I know we're all dealing with enough as it is, but just to be mindful of where you are getting your products from and being a bit curious about the companies and how they operate and how they run their businesses, because we need to be supporting businesses that are doing things the right way. So can you speak a little bit about what's your like criteria or how you guys go about getting your cacao, just for everybody to, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I so resonate with what you've said. And I really, I didn't start to really open my eyes about this sort of stuff until I started, you know, until we started looking into cacao more and researching and even just looking into the cacao industry itself. We started to find, wow, like there is really dark aspects of this industry, especially the candy industry. I think anything that's hyper-commercialized usually has a shadow side. I think everything has that shadow side, right? Even humans. But yeah, I really started to realize when we're buying something, we're casting a vote for or against that thing. So if we're buying something that supports exploitation, we're voting yes for that. If we're buying something that supports fair trade or fair remuneration or whatever it might be, we're saying yes for that too. And I think, look, there are definitely aspects where we can't be totally conscious of everything. But I think, yeah, being mindful of certain products, it definitely made me start to look at everything in the candy aisle. I started to read the back of everything and noticing, where is this source? Where's the cacao from? Or what's even in this product? Like what's been added to it that dilutes the potency of it, right? But for us, a big thing has always been a big value of mine is giving more than we take. So naturally, if I was going to bring a ancient plant medicine to a Western culture, I was going to do it in a way that made sure that all the people that came into contact with that plant were fairly remunerated and, you know, were supported. And again, yeah, like the energy transfer, people are harvesting this beautiful plant. I want to know that they feel like they're getting what they need from that too, you know, and these people do need to eat. They need to feed their families. They need to survive. You know, there's things like that. So for us, finding a supplier that had that intact was super important, just from a like ethical, like a personal ethics perspective as well. For me, that was huge. And finding something that was sustainably farmed as well. For me, I really care about the planet. I care about not over farming the planet. That's a big value of mine as well. So finding somewhere that was a sustainable farm that, you know, supported sustainable agriculture, was organically farmed, again, being mindful of what we actually put in our bodies, so important. So the farmers that supply, we have a handful of farming communities across Peru, particularly in Tarapoto and Satipo. And there's a few other little provinces within that that we supply from. And all of those farms are fair trade. They've been certified. They're all organic. They're all sustainable agriculture. They're all very supported percentages of what we actually purchase the cacao for goes back to supporting them with tools and education. A big thing is their local dialect is something that they want to keep intact. So we help to support them with education of that as well to ensure that the traditions of the space are maintained as well. So that's sort of what we do in that space. And then once we receive the cacao, we then on sell it obviously from the business. And then from the profits we make personally, we then deliver meals to people in need as well. So we really want to create this beautiful ecosystem that there are people constantly benefiting from this product in so many different ways, whether it's the consumer, whether it's people that are in need, whether it's the farmers and the suppliers. We wanted to make sure that we could do so much social good with a product that was doing good for people in their homes and was doing good for us too, because we receive from that as well. So, yeah.
I love that. Like I love you, but I loved everything about that. Cause babe, you talk about it like, it's just like, oh, well, like it just makes sense to just, you know, no, it isn't. For a lot of people, the shadow side that we were talking about is just the cost of doing business. They don't see it as the shadow side. So, you know, that's us with our spiritual hats on.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think it's a shadow aspect.
It's
where
collateral damage.
Exactly. Cost of doing business is just what, you know, what you do. And there's just no regard for the people involved in this chain of production. And I think that that's so beautiful. And as someone who's from Peru and as a native indigenous of Peru, and my family speaks native Quechua, that, you know, is so beautiful that you're supporting them in helping them to continue to speak their language, because I know that where I'm from, there was a big push to speak Spanish. So by the time I moved to Canada, I was fluent in two languages, which is Quechua and Spanish, and I had to learn English.
Wow.
When I moved to Toronto. And, but yeah, I remember it was a push, and I remember our family still spoke it, but I remember a lot of people didn't speak Quechua still. So, that is amazing. And I think it's just, you know, when we think about business, we do have to think of it as a circle. It is an ecosystem. It's not, it's never just a one way thing. It is always, you know, just going back to spiritual laws, like you cannot give to an energy. You can't give anything without receiving that back in some way. And so I think it's really beautiful, how you guys have done your business model. And, as a consumer, it feels good to buy from you guys, because I know your business model, and I know that you guys just, it comes from such a loving place, and I can drink my cacao in confidence knowing that I'm not exploiting some poor little Peruvian in the mountains, you know, or whatever.
That's exactly it.
And it's really made me look at a lot of things, just the way I buy in general. And I'm just really evolving as a person in that, you know, for a lot of us, maybe you don't have the money to buy at more expensive stores. And so Kmart is the only place you can shop. And I totally understand that. But where can we consciously make a little shift where we're like, you know what, I can do this. And I think this is a really beautiful place to start, because it is a beautiful product that you will get so much benefit from, that you know that you are contributing to a really healthy production that's not harming the world. Mm-hmm. And the other thing on this whole topic was about the land. You know, I think we look at us as people, like I am a person, a human, and I'm different from the earth, but we are not. And I truly believe, I don't know, I'm sure you believe this too, but it's like, we can't do to the planet without doing to ourselves. Like if we are over harvesting, if we're over farming, we're doing that. Where are we depleting ourselves? That's exactly what we're doing to ourselves. It's just, it's a pattern. Right? It's a pattern that we're already doing to ourselves in the hustle mode and the overworking and all that. Now we're going to do it to our earth. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's sick. And so to be a part of something where we're ensuring that that's not happening, I think is really, really amazing.
I think so as well. Yeah, I agree. And again, I think where possible, it's always important to make that choice and be conscious. I definitely understand that. I think being conscious of where your goods are from is such a luxury and such a privilege. And I really do honor that is such a privileged thing to be thinking about, is, you know, where am I getting my food from and who was supportive through this? But I think if you do have that privilege, you have a responsibility to actually be conscious about that stuff more so, you know, and I want to always make sure that I'm using my privilege for good and not just for greed or for convenience. Because I think that it matters, everything matters. So absolutely.
I love that. And thank you for that reminder, because it is a privilege. This is like, you know, first world problems to be like, where does my cacao come from? Right.
Absolutely.
And so no judgment and all that, if that's just not where you're at right now too. So let's pivot a little bit in terms of how to prepare this beautiful drink. I'd love for you to share how you do it, because how I do it, I'm going to full transparency, because everybody's like, oh my gosh, how do you do it? I'm like, I got to be honest. The way that I do it is more like a coffee, unless I'm going to sit down and do intentions. Like I'm sitting down and I'm going to do, then I do it like a lot more naturally. But the way that I do it, I'm like replacing coffee. I'm making it all fancy dancy. So,
So
I'd love to know, like, what would be like, how would you make it?
Okay, beautiful. So yeah, I'm totally in agreement. I consume cacao in many different ways. For me, it's not like a, I feel like I really try and steer away from how people should be consuming cacao, because I think that's not really my right to tell anyone how to sit and consume cacao. I always love to give like inspiration or ideas, but I think everyone, I really want to give everyone the permission to enjoy it for themselves and to set up their own space for cacao in their life, whether it's as a coffee replacement or if it's a part of their self-care practice or whatever it might be. I think it has so many diverse uses, and that's why I particularly love it. On the mornings where it is more of a coffee replacement for me and more of a feel good sort of pick me up in the morning before work, I'm going like the fast route. So I'm talking, I put my two scoops. So we've got our little scoopers. I put my two scoops in my NutriBullet. I put my almond milk. Sometimes I quite like oat milk as well. Again, you can play around with your milks. So I usually put about 80 mils to 100 mils of plant milk. And then I'll fill the rest up with hot water. So I use boiling for that. But if I'm just using hot water and I'm going really basic with my cacao, I'll go like a 70 degrees or just let the boiling sit for a bit. And then I add, so I've got my, I think of really around 100 to 120 mils of water. And then I add a teaspoon of raw jarrah honey. We get it from this beautiful lady with her own bee farm. So again, I'm all about that organic life. I literally just put the top on a blender, give it a quick blend, 10 seconds, and pour it in my cup, and away we go. Sometimes if I need like an extra bit, or I'm using maybe some mushrooms that day, so sometimes I put in lion's mane, some chaga sometimes, and some tremella. So those like medicinal mushrooms just go with cacao so beautifully. I believe they just work so well together. So you can use different medicinal mushrooms if you like, which can be really, really amazing for brain function and focus and clarity and just brain health in general. So I'll use that. That's pretty much it for like a day-to-day cacao. And then if I'm having more of a slow morning on the weekend, or I'm maybe sitting in ceremony, I do like to make it over the stove. So I'll get the pot out. I've got a little hack. So what I do is I get the cup that I'm going to be using, and I fill it up with the milk or water I'm going to be using for that cup. I fill it into the cup and I just pour it straight in to let it heat. So it's like, you don't need to worry with measurements. Just fill up the cup you're going to use and then pour it in. Simple. I'm all about simplicity. And then throw in my cacao, a little bit of sweetener, sometimes I like to use pink salt and cinnamon. And then I just let it sort of like melt over the stove and lovingly just pour some intentions and sometimes do like a special stir with it, a little infinity symbol. And then I will blend it after that and pop it in my cup and then sit down, have some intentions, sit and breathe and just ground into my body. And then I'll kind of enter my day that way. But yeah, it varies for me.
I love that. Okay. So I use like a little, like, is it a frother? I don't know. It like blends.
Yeah,
it
up. I've seen that.
But yes. I'm thinking, I'm like, am I taking away its nutrients because I'm like adding heat to it? Or does it have to be like, you know what I mean? So I was like, oh man, I know that I'm doing, because obviously over the stove, I love that way as well. But in the mornings when I'm starting my work day, I usually use that, and then it leaves it like so frothy. Dan doesn't like his so frothy. He's like, yours is too much. But I like it quite like fluffy. So am I taking away any nutrients when I do that, do you think?
Look, there is not, we are very big on like looking at the scientific literature as well as just the information that comes across from all different spaces. So we definitely like to base most of our claims on science, just something that we really hold closely. So we've actually looked into this quite significantly and have found that there's not anything that really proves that the heat like of a boiling kettle like is going to really add to taking away the nutrients of cacao. When we're talking about, you know, the process of it going under heat for stripping like the cacao powder, for instance, we're talking way higher heats than 100 degrees. So it's just a little bit of a different sort of level there. And I think, yeah, there's really minimal evidence that supports, yeah, it's going to ruin your cacao and take away the nutrients. There is I think some literature that speaks about the 70 degrees to 80 degrees being a real sweet spot for cacao. But again, there's not a whole heap of studies that have been shown at this point. So I think it's just, yeah, important to see for yourself. And again, like, for instance, all cacao paste is still so different as well. So, you know, for us, this is what we recommend for ours. Maybe someone's going to recommend it theirs differently, you know, but so far we haven't really noticed a huge difference.
Cool. So you said you use 2 scoops. So when you buy cacao from Cacao Collective, like a big bag, you can get a little scoop how big are each of the scoops? It's 10 grams.
Yeah. So it measures 10 grams exactly of your shaved cacao.
Yeah. So I do 2 scoops too. Now, what you would have on a day to day? Typically people have the 2 scoops. 'Cause that's what I usually do. I usually do 2 scoops.
Yeah.
But for some reason I'm thinking, is it when if you're going into like actual ceremony, like intention setting and like breath work and stuff, mm-hmm. you do 3, is that, or am I just pulling that out of nowhere?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Okay. They're definitely different doses. Between 15 grams and 20 to 25 grams, I think, is a really nice amount for like a morning or daily dose. Again, everyone's so different. So some people are super sensitive to cacao and will find like 20 grams is just way too much for them. And they'll find like the 10 to 15 gram mark really nice. And I always like suggest everyone listening, if you're trying it, just play around with the doses and see what actually feels best. 'Cause you might find that with cacao, it's not always about more is better. Sometimes less can be better as well. And it's really about finding your own personal sweet spot. So that's something I definitely recommend. With the ceremonial dose, like for actual ceremony, we're talking upwards of about 30 to 35 grams. So you could start with a 30 to 35 gram dose, which is about your 3 to 3.5 scoops. And then you could go up from there, depending on how you personally feel as well. So you go into the 40s and even the 50 grams, just depends how potent you want the ceremony to be. And I really do, you know, little disclaimer here, like when you add those, anyone listening, if you go, yeah, I'm going to have a ceremony today, be mindful that like the experience is so different to like a general dose. You may find that you get, your heart starts to beat really fast because it is a cardiovascular stimulant. So it's going to stimulate you quite a bit. You might find you get a bit of nausea. You might get a bit of a headache. Like there are so many things that can happen with a high amount of cacao. None of it's technically bad. It just is a different experience. And then sometimes you'll find that it's just such a beautiful, like opening experience when you blend that with intention and ceremony. Some amazing things can occur, I think, with that setting. I've had some beautiful experiences with cacao where I've sat in ceremony and there have been amazing visions and clarity and awareness and stuff like that. So I use it definitely in that setting, or even like if I'm going to have a tough conversation with my partner, we'll usually sit in ceremony together to open up that heart space.
Oh, I love that. How beautiful. And you spoke about a couple things like it can do something to you physically in that I personally haven't experienced it, but I can see how it could.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever done more than like 35 in one like sitting.
Yeah.
But obviously, I mean, if it does give you a little bit of energy, it'd be right to assume that a lot more of it would be doing something to you physically. But I think what's really important is that you got like visions. It's this weird thing that it gives you this pick me up, but you can also be so present, which I don't mm-hmm. experience with coffee. So yes. With coffee, I can get tons of energy and I can be like working really quickly. But not fully present, if that makes sense. There's just, I'm not fully embodied. Whereas with cacao, I can be like, I'm so present with you right now. Like I'm just so here.
I'm so nice.
Yeah. But whereas if I had a coffee, I would not do that before an interview. I would literally be kind of like somewhere else almost.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to explain. So I think that's what's like so beautiful about cacao. And what you said was, you know, just start with anywhere between 15 and 25 and see how you feel with that and play with it a little. I might play with it a little as well because I always just do my two scoops and I absolutely love it. Sometimes when I'm really craving it, I find like before I'm going to get my period or something, I will tend to want like maybe like one scoop like later in the afternoon. And I find it so good for, well, I don't get cramps or anything like that anymore, but I find it just makes me feel so good in my body. And I don't feel like I'm missing anything, if that makes sense.
Especially
right before my period.
Yeah, I feel the exact same way. And I mean, just to quickly speak to that presence, because I feel the same when I have cacao. I'm so much more grounded and present. Like you've got the stimulation, but you're really here for it. And I think that's, I mean, look, there's also the spirit of cacao, which is really about presence and receivership. It's the feminine essence, the feminine energy. Like Mama Cacao is definitely the feminine spirit. But you've also got, you know, your active compounds are also acting in that flow state area. So it's working with your brain chemistry and it's really allowing you to be in that present flow state, which can be accessed through things like your phenylethylamine and things like that. So there's also that biochemical space that's really conducive to being present with your work or with your partner or whoever. So that's what I love most about it is it's like, it's this beautiful blend of spirituality and biochemistry and they work together and they just deliver like the most incredible experience. And I think more than ever now, like we need experiences and especially, you know, you can have it in your home if you're in lockdown or you've got, you know, you're in quarantine, you can still bring this experience to anywhere that you are. And I think that's so powerful right now. But getting to the period thing, I definitely relate to that. And again, there are just so many, like, I hate to harp on about it, but we're here for it. Cacao is just so fucking nutritious. It's so incredible. And it really does support women and menstruation. Again, like it's that feminine essence and feminine plant that helps with the feminine moon cycle. I think like how beautiful is that? So I mean, you've got your minerals, the magnesium, the zinc, the iron, all essential for menstruation around that time. For us as women, we need extra iron. We need the zinc. We need the magnesium for cramps. You know, the iron to assist in the production of our healthy red blood cells, like all of those beautiful things that we require. It's like cacao can also support that. And if you're someone like me who gets like insane chocolate cravings through my period, like especially just before, it's like perfect because you've got that sorted as well. So yeah, I'm just obsessed with it.
Yeah, that's so true. Like I find that it's a craving curber. Like it just calms me right down. I don't feel like having chocolate if I've had it. So it's just, it is, it's so amazing. It has so many nutrients. So I definitely recommend you follow Cacao Collective on Instagram, guys. I will have the links in the show notes because your page is also really educational in that it teaches you and lets you know like the different nutrients that are in it and how it can sustain your body function. So it's so amazing. Yeah, Jasmine, I love you so much. Thank you so much for taking the time, my love. This was amazing.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, guys, I hope you got some powerful takeaways from this episode. If so, please share it with someone. And if you haven't done so already, please review and subscribe as it helps us to spread our message of inspiration. Sending you all so much love, and I'll see you on the next episode of The Hustler's Guide to Flow.